Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Genesis, the first chapter. We're going to just start at the beginning this morning. We're going to start in the book of Genesis and end in Revelation. Always wanted to do this, so. We have been into a series here for the last 4 or 5 weeks on what we believe. It's important for us to stop from time to time and rehearse again the things that we believe. Did you know that that no doctrinal statement is a doctrinal statement? In other words, if you have not taken the time to know what you believe, that becomes your statement of belief. If someone says to you, well, what does your church believe? And that question stumps you, then they will walk away realizing that you don't know what your church believes. I remember an individual standing and telling me, it's been some time ago, and I just met him, and he said, I introduced myself and who I was, and he said, I go to that church. I go to your church. Now, I mean, I have difficulty with names, and I'll admit that. But usually faces, I know. And I didn't recognize this gentleman. And so then the mean streak in me came forward. And I said, well, which pastor, you know, do you know the pastor? Oh, yes. I said, which pastor do you know? I don't know the pastor's name. Hi, I'm the pastor. Yeah, I couldn't resist. You see, we give away what we don't know when we don't know it. It's important for you to know what you believe. If you can't work your way through the 16 fundamental truths, can I give you just one that you should all know? We believe in the Bible. It's the inspired, verbally inspired Word of God. If you want to add one to it, you might want to say, we believe in one God who is manifest to us in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, and we believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And maybe you would remember that we believe in the church as the body of Christ. All right. This morning, we're going to talk about the fall of man. So, ladies, you can relax. Let me give you the Assemblies of God doctrinal statement concerning this doctrine of belief, if you will. Man was created good and upright, for God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. However, man, by voluntary transgression, fell and thereby incurred not only physical death, but also spiritual death, which is separation from God. According to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Genesis 2, 17, Genesis 3, 6, and Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Some time ago, I came across an article that started like this, and this can help us to understand this just a little bit. If you believe in miracles, this would be one, the doctor said. The doctor was talking about Alcides Marino. By the law of physics and medicine, Marino should have died. Marino was a window washer in Manhattan. He rode platforms with his brother Edgar high into the sky to wash skyscrapers. Wow, that's hard to say. From there, he could look down to see the pavement far below where the people looked like ants. On December 7th, 2007, catastrophe struck the Marino family. As the brothers worked on the 47th story of a high-rise, their platform collapsed. Alcides and Edgar fell from the sky. Now, if you are a believer in miracles, this would be one. No, Alcides Marino didn't land on a passing airplane or catch his shirt on a flagpole or have anything else amazing happen like you see in the movies. He fell the entire 47 stories to the pavement below. As would be expected, his brother Edgar died from the fall. But somehow, Alcides did not. He lived. For 2 weeks, he hung on to life by a thread. And then on Christmas Day, he spoke and reached out to touch his nurse's face. 1 month later, the doctors were saying that he would probably walk again. If you're a believer in miracles, this would be one. This morning, we're going to look at this fifth truth, what we believe. Because we believe in the fall of man. And the fall of man was greater than the 47-floor fall that Alcides took. It's incredible. Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician and Christian apologist, wrote in the 1600s, there are only two kinds of men. The righteous who believe themselves sinners, and the rest sinners who believe themselves righteous. You can ponder that one. We have to go back to the very beginning of man's journey on this earth to get a glimpse of how this fall took place. If you will go back to Genesis chapter 1, at verse number 26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you this morning for the privilege that you give me of ministering your word. I pray this morning that your word would carry forth into the hearts and lives of each and every person in this room. I realize that as I speak, I have no control over the words from this point, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would not only help me to give clarity to this truth, but that you would help each and every person to receive this truth in their hearts and minds to your glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Look at the height of mankind before the fall. Think of it. Of the place that man had with God before he chose rebellion and sin. Imagine, if you will, the innocence. Adam was created from the dust of the earth. God breathed the breath of life into him and he became a living soul. No one before him had left a path of sin that he had to fall into. Think about that. Every one of us, how many of you had parents? Some of you didn't. Okay, it's going to be one of those days. I think I can speak this. We all had parents. And if you were around your parents for any length of time, though I do not question that you dearly loved them, you probably saw some of their faults. Hello? How many would give me just a nod that you saw a fault in your parent? Uh-huh. I can remember a few from my dad. My mom, she didn't have any. She's watching this morning. Hi, Mom. No, you know, there were things that you could see that were in the path, and you realized that if you weren't careful, you would fall into some of the things that they struggled with, right? You're just like your mother. You're just like your father. What does that mean? Generally, it doesn't mean, oh, you have such great traits. It generally means that whatever fault, whatever failure that they had, you are living dangerously close to falling into that yourself. Eh? Adam and Eve did not have that. There was nobody that they could look back to and find blame. Well, I got, you know, my genes made me do this. Huh? Well, I'm just Irish. We love those things, don't we? Because in some way they will check off a box and give us just a little bit of justification for a wrong action. Adam and Eve did not have that. They had complete innocence. The slate was clean before them. No sin existed in the world. No sin existed in the garden of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, their innocence is summed up like this. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Complete innocence. Imagine for a moment, if you would, the authority that they were given. I read it to you a moment ago. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. He gave them the authority to have power over everything that they saw. How incredible was that? So in their innocence, this incredible authority and power, Adam was given the power to name the animals. I wonder how he came up with giraffe. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue. What about provisions? Imagine the provisions. How many of you have to work for a living? Mm-hmm. Thought so. Adam really didn't have to work for a living. He simply made his way through the garden of God's provision for he and his wife. And every tree in the garden was there for their enjoyment. Well, honey, let's try this tree. Now, I'm sure there was a bit of effort. Huh? But see, there was no cooking. There was no toil. There was no struggle. Everything was there out of the provision of the Lord. It says he created them and he set them. He put them into that garden of his provision. Wow. Companionship. God watched Adam, realized he needed a companion. Laid him down, took a rib from that same dust, created a woman. Adam looked over and went, wow. Huh? That attraction, young folks, is God's idea. Huh? The world cheapens it, but the attraction is God's idea. Huh? He made a helpmeet for Adam that Adam would be attracted to, would fall for. He said, I'll call her woman because she was taken out of me. So there was tremendous companionship between the two of them. God ordained. Complete innocence. Working and living in God's overwhelming provision. And having authority such as no one has ever seen before. Authority over everything God created. Oh, but his companionship didn't end there. Because it says in the cool of the day, the Lord would come down. Creator God would come down and walk in the garden and call out to Adam. Adam? Eve? Now, we look at it in the context of the third chapter there when he searched for them and couldn't find them. But let's back up just a little bit and understand. God came down to earth and walked in the garden to be a companion with the man that he created. We need this part. Before we can really understand the fall, we need to understand where man was before the fall. Man and woman were companions of God. There was no tension. There was no struggle. There was open and complete communication. You can almost hear it. Just think about it for a moment with me. Well, Adam, what have you been up to today? Well, I named some animals. Huh? I saw this strange-looking one. He had the longest nose. He's way up here, and his nose came all the way to the ground. What'd you call him? I called him an elephant. Huh? I know, they weren't speaking English, but just stay with me for a moment. And God was content because he had given the authority to Adam to name these animals, to subdue these animals. Can you see the companionship, the relationship? So, we believe in the fall of man. So something happened that brought about that horrible, horrible change from that beautiful place that man had in God to being separated from man and bringing sin and darkness and shame and guilt and sickness and death all into this world. Look at the choices that led to the fall. Now, you say, well, you know, this happened a long time ago, Pastor Bill, so what does this have to do with me? I'll tell you, because Adam and Eve's choices are the same choices that you and I make. Amen. It's true, Pastor. Yes, sir. They are. They're the same choices that you and I make. There's not a one of us that could point our finger at Adam and Eve and say to them, you messed up. You ruined it all for all mankind. We'd like to. But the reality is, their struggles are the same struggles that you and I have. So it behooves us to look at what happened that brought them to the fall. Amen. First, the fall was precipitated by Eve listening to something that she had given, that she was given power to subdue. Now I'm going to say it again. The fall was precipitated by Eve listening to something that she was given power to subdue. In other words, one of the most dangerous actions of any man or woman is listening to the logic or reasoning of anything we have been given power to control. You see, instead of Eve instructing the serpent was questioning Eve. God had given authority to Adam and Eve to subdue all the creatures of the earth. But she began to accept questions from someone that she was supposed to teach. The serpent identified his nature, himself, with his very first words. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now you see, if she would have listened to the words of God, she would have realized, hold on a minute, this is a trick question. You see, in the garden of God's provision, there was nothing to hinder truth from prevailing. No one had ever told a lie before. So a lie would have stood out like a neon light. The adversary of the woman was not the lie of the serpent, but her willingness to acknowledge the serpent and engage him in conversation. Now, what does that mean to us? That means, you know what? Things that we know to be wrong, things that we know are sin, we get way too close to. When Eve started conversing with her and immediately began telling her things that were not true, she should have said, get away from me, serpent. You have no part in my relationship with God. Or, who are you to be questioning what God said? Or, why should I listen to you when God has already spoken? Hello? When the Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts and says to us, you need to stay away from that thing, something should go off inside of us, and it doesn't matter if it's a person or a thing, we should say, that thing, that person is harmful for me, and I need to stay away from it. And I need to realize that the God of the universe, of all creation, has given me the power to speak and rebuke that which would turn me aside. Now, here's something interesting about this, and that is that out of the same mouth can come godly speak and devil speak. One day Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter speaks up, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but My Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And then he said to them, I am getting ready to go and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, the same one who made the profession, the same one who had received the word from the Father, said, no, I will not allow that to happen. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Huh? How could Jesus make that distinction? How could he? Because he knew the voice of the Father. He knew the will and the desire of the Father. You and I need to identify the voices that are speaking into our lives. Hello? We need to know the voices that are speaking into our lives. We need to know the character of the voices that are speaking into our lives. That serpent that was speaking to Eve did not have the character of God speaking to her. Because you see, God did not put questions before them. He put answers. He said, you can have all the trees of the garden. Well, at least they didn't fall down there. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are not to eat. You will notice something if you continue reading right there. And that was, she spoke back. And when she spoke back, what she said to the serpent was the word of God. It was not the word of God. Number one, she said, he said that we could not eat or touch the tree in the center of the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was not the only tree that was in the center of the garden. Read your Bible, chapter 2. The tree of life was there also, and they were encouraged to eat of the tree of life. You see how it all can get messed up when you and I start listening to the wrong voice, when we start pursuing what the enemy wants us to pursue rather than pursuing what God wants us to pursue? The simplicity of our lives really comes down to choices, folks. It's choosing this day whom we will serve. In this moment and moment by moment, as Peter brought forth, you can listen to the voice of the Lord in this moment and turn and listen to the wrong voice in this moment. So you've got to learn and identify the voices that are speaking. The fall was precipitated by Eve's willingness to add to the command of the Lord. Genesis 3:3, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. That's what Eve said. But what did God say? Genesis 2:17, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die. There's no mention of touching the tree, and there's no mention of the other tree that was in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of life. Eve's willingness to add to the word of the Lord opened the door for Satan's temptation through the serpent. You say, well, you know, that was the problem. It was the serpent. There's a lot of serpents. Some of them are good looking. Some of them are very attractive. Some of them, everybody wants to be around. We have actors and actresses. Nothing wrong with acting, but they are stepping forward and putting their lives forward as being the examples that other people should follow. And if they're living an unsavory life, it can be very dangerous to follow them. They're becoming heroes. And then living lifestyles that you don't want to follow. We need to be careful. Young folks, older folks, we need to be careful who we're listening to. I don't know, and I'm going to meddle. I got to do it. The Holy Spirit gives me a shove. I've got to move there. But I don't know if they're still on. Is the guiding light still on? Is the search for tomorrow still on? Days of our lives? Who said that? Days of our lives is still on. I think I just exhausted all that I know about the daytime shows. Have you ever said, you know, I like to watch my stories. I've been told, I've never watched one of them. I'm not trying to be innocent in this. It's just time. They don't put them on at night. So I don't, yeah. But I do know about them. And I do know this. They are projecting a lifestyle that is not healthy. See, if we're wanting to have godly homes and godly marriages and all of this, now there's just as much stuff on at the nighttime, and, you know, don't shoot me for picking on your story if you've been watching it for 92 years. Just get the point. You see, the enemy, just like he spoke through the serpent, is trying to speak into your life and my life. See, we need to know what God is saying, and we need to shut down the other voices that are wanting to speak into our lives. Know what God says about marriage. Know what God says about sexuality. The world is going to go berserk. And they are. And if you take your counsel from the world, you're going to be in trouble. Just like Eve. Okay? Wake up once in a while and say something. Like, boo. The fall was precipitated by Adam's willingness to go along with Eve's disobedience to the Lord. Warning. Warning. There are going to be individuals that you really like, that you love, that may try to lead you in the wrong direction. So you personally need to know what God says. When Adam got caught, what did he say? The woman that you gave me, she gave it to me to eat. And do you know what? God was not impressed at all by his excuse. She got her discipline, but he got his. Nobody else is going to be judged for your behavior. Not going to happen. You and I will stand before the righteous judge. Adam, now here's a big thing, guys. We know this because of the fact that that Jesus came and was virgin born. That this imputed sin passed, don't ask me how, we're not told this exactly, but it was passed through the bloodline of the male. Okay? That's the way that was broken, because God the Father came upon the Virgin Mary, and so no man was involved, breaking that chain of sinfulness that went back to Adam. How and why and all of that, you'll have to wait until we get heavenward, and then you can ask him and he can explain it to you if you need to know. But all I know is this, that if Adam would have said no to his wife, if he would have turned to her and said, honey, you know that I love you. You know that I care about you more than anything else. I'll take you over any of these other animals. Although that cat over there is pretty sharp. No. But you are not going to get me to turn against God. Hmm? the fall of man would not have taken place. What it would have looked like, how it would have all come about, I can't answer that because it didn't. But we do know that the fall of man would not have taken place if Adam would have simply said to his wife, "But God said, don't eat of the fruit of that tree. So I'm not going to eat it." But instead, he allowed her to influence him. How many young people have been influenced by someone that they cared about deeply? Huh? The progression of sin and rebellion is there in chapter 3, verse 6. She saw, she desired what she did not have, she took some and ate it and gave it to her husband. Falls precipitated by Eve's listening to something she was given power to subdue. I think it's very important for us as a church because the Lord has given us renewed authority to speak to the enemy of our souls. You see, we want to say, "Well, I'm just powerless to that thing." No, not if you're a believer, because the power of sin has been broken. Now, church, we either believe this or we don't. The Apostle Paul deals with it very explicitly in the book of Romans. He states completely and purely that the power of sin is broken at the cross. You and I can turn and say no to the sins that would beset us. And the whole Flip Wilson thing, "The devil made me do it," is nothing more than really just an excuse. If you are a believer, you have authority, a renewed garden-like authority from God to speak to the enemy and to speak to the sins and to speak to the things that would cause you to fall and say no. Whether it be a person or a thing, you have the power to rebuke that and to move away from it. Praise God. Well, look at the depth to which man fell. In chapter 3, verse 10 through 24, and I'm not going to dig it all out for you this morning, but it goes like this. Intimacy was broken. Verse number 10, "I heard you in the garden," Adam said, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Innocence was broken. Adam's fellowship with God was broken. He said, "Oh, how horrible it was that God threw them out of the Garden of Eden." Well, the most horrible part was the fact that he no longer had that intimate daily time with God. It was broken by sin. Fear replaced love. Wow. Paul tells us that perfect love casts out sin. When you and I yield to sin, we introduce fear into our lives. And fear will squelch love. Here's one. Do you realize that it was 905 years before man sought the Lord? It's what the scripture says. 905 years before the generations of Adam turned and began to seek the Lord. His sin not only affected him, but it affected his children and their children. We need to understand the cost. The fall was from this high place that God created man and woman, giving us innocence and authority and companionship and all of this. And the introduction of an alternative route, an alternative thing, came in and stole everything from mankind. Provisions were taken away. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. Because of you. God says, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It, the ground, will produce thorns and thistles. You will eat the plants of the field. That is, what you have worked and planted. So he went from, man and woman went from that place where God tended all the trees and just provided them with the provision of fruit to the place where they had to dig in the soil and plant a seed and pray for it to be watered and watch it grow and then take from that what they could to eat. And if the winds came and the storms came and consumed the crop, then they had nothing to eat. The fall of man was incredible. The authority of man was diminished. God says, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Therefore, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Genesis 3:22. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. The innocence of man was lost to sin. You see, you can never go back. You hear me? God can and will forgive the sin through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will not change history. Too many are carrying the pain of sin in their lives. Well, let me be more specific. And young folks, I hope that you hear this. Many a young person grows up in church. They are blessed to have the gospel poured over them, both in the church and at home. And then they reach a certain age and they look and they go, well, that's mom and dad's faith. I'm going to go and find what the world has. And so they go out and they begin to listen to the world and they indulge in the things of the world. And with that, the penalty of death that comes along with it. I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about the death of emotions. I'm talking about the death of sensitivity. I'm talking about the death of reality and of the word and the voice of God. You see, you can go wandering and listening so intently to what the world says that the voice of God, no matter how much of it was poured into your life, begins to fade until you don't remember what it was that God said was the truth. And now you start listening to the world as though it has truth. But all it has for us is pain and sorrow and death. You see, the enemy of Eve is the enemy of every young person and every older person as well. He's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He looked and saw Adam and Eve in the state that God had created them, putting them there in their innocence, putting them with the authority, putting them with the power that God had given to them, and the companionship that God had, and the enemy of their soul says, I want that one, I want that one, and he began to work. He could not force them. They made the choice to listen to him rather than to God. I said to you at the beginning, the same choices that they made are the same choices that we made. And folks, understand that this is not just to an unbeliever that's studying in our midst. This is also to every believer. You and I are making choices of which voice and which path that we are going to walk on. Choosing the path of life. Choosing to follow the light of the world will bring us into glorious inheritance in Christ Jesus. Following the paths of this world promise us death. sorrow and struggle. Look at the fall. You see, as a church, we believe in the fall of man. That God created man and said, it's good. Wanting nothing, needing nothing more. Everything provided. Man made a choice that robbed him of all of that blessing and brought sorrow and struggle and death. Look at the height of mankind before the fall. Look at the choices that led to the fall. Look at the depth to which man fell. And I pray that you would look at the redemption that Jesus brought to fallen man. Now, if you're a believer in miracles, this would be one. Because who did Jesus come to save? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I came not to the well, but I came to the sick. I came to the hurting. I came to the sinner. He is ready to restore us. You know what heaven is going to be? What's it going to be like? The Garden of Eden. It is. Provision, innocence, authority, companionship. That's the plan that God has. That's the reason why he sent Jesus into this world, so that you and I could be returned to the Garden of Eden. The garden of his presence, the garden of his provision, the garden of authority, the garden of innocence with God. I don't know. Anybody interested? Huh? If you are, stand with me. Thank you for your patience as I work through, as we, Pastor Steve and I, work our way through these. They're some not the easiest messages to expound or to share for a number of reasons, but thank you for your patience as we work our way through these. It's important that we know what we believe. We believe in the fall of man. And because we believe in the fall of man, we also need to acknowledge the fact that the same things that caused Adam and Eve to fall are in our world today. That desire because something looks good, that desire to have what you do not have, the listening to the wrong voice can all bring a fall in our lives. Someone said to me recently, and I'll not point out who or say who, but someone said to me recently, he said, I was going to come to church. Just something inside of me said, oh, I'll just stay home. Wonder whose voice that was. I can tell you this morning, there's nothing magical about coming into here. This, just stepping into this building among these people is not going to get you to heaven. But I can tell you this, the enemy of your soul doesn't want you here. Because in this house, you will hear praise and worship of God, and you will hear the word of God being preached. No matter how feebly, it will come forth. And the enemy doesn't want that. You and I need to identify the voices that are speaking into our lives. Amen? How many would agree with me on that too? We need to identify the voices that are speaking into our lives. And we need to realize that not all the voices that are speaking into our lives have our best interest. But there is one who is a thief, who wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and to its fullness. Hallelujah. Before we say a prayer of amen, would you just stop for a moment and thank the Lord for salvation? If you know him this morning, maybe you even want to lift up your hands and just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for doing in my life, undoing Adam's rebellion, bringing me back to a place of communion with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning for salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for the hope of eternity that I can have in my life. And oh, Lord God, may you help me to identify the voices that are speaking inside of me. Help me to know what you have said, to add nothing to it, but to stand firmly upon your word. And in that, I know I can walk and have the best life that this world can have. And one of these days, I'll step out of this world and into your presence and receive all the rest that you have promised. Thank you, thank you, thank you.